Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poole, and my guest today is Danielle Hilly and her friend, Zach. Zach, can I say your name, please?
Sure. It's Zach Garofalo. Thanks for
Garofalo.
Having us.
Oh, my pleasure. And Danielle and Zach are going to be talking about the incident that happened on Grand Street on Sunday. So a video was made and it went viral on Facebook. So can you give us an overview of exactly what happened?
So what happened is that a female driver of a vehicle was stopped by police for having parked in the for having parked in the, basically in the roadway, as opposed to parking on the side of where cars are supposed to park. So the officers approached her and requested that she, they approached her, asked her about the reasons that she was in the road. There was some suspicion that she may be under the influence of something. And they requested that she exit the vehicle, at which time she refused. They attempted to get her to exit the vehicle for a period of approximately 10 minutes, somewhere between 7 and 10 minutes prior to where the bystanders video actually picks up. At this point, she was actively refusing. She was actively and she was insisting that she was not going to exit the vehicle. After considerable amount of requesting information, or requesting that she exit the vehicle, obviously, you know, there comes a point where the officers can no longer allow a person to just refuse to comply. They asked her, you can actually hear in the very beginning of the video, they're almost begging her, saying, please step out of the car, please, ma'am, please step out of the car. You hear them say it at least 3 or 4 times in the beginning, so you can imagine over 7 minutes, they likely prompted her to exit the car several dozen times. At that point, she was under arrest for obstruction, and They attempted to remove her out of the car. From what I understand, she was told she was going to be removed from the car. She still continued to resist. She actually actively resisted by latching on to the steering wheel and another place inside the car, and refused to allow them to remove her from the vehicle. If you watch the vehicle, you can see that there's a female officer that goes into the passenger seat. It appears that she's dislodged one of the two hands that the driver has actively holding onto the car. You can then see that the driver is leaned out of the car, but still holding onto something which appears to be the steering wheel, and at which time the officers use what appears to be legal and reasonable use of force to remove her hand from the steering wheel. They then take her out of the car. She continues to refuse to cooperate, refuses to get up. She's not unconscious or immobile. As seen in the video, if you watch carefully, you can actually see that her body has posture to it, which is not indicative of being unconscious. A person who's unconscious is very limp. Also, there's a portion where it appears that they are she thinks they might drag her, and you can actually see her pull her knees together and start walking on her knees. So she's neither unconscious nor immobile. And from what I understand, she was actually refusing to stand up, which then led the police officers four of them to actually pick her up and put her in the back of a police car. The bystanders are yelling things such as the officer hit her in the head, which if you watch the video carefully, the the strikes that he uses to dislodge her hand are done, one, not with his fist. They are done with his forearm, and they are to her forearm. They are not to her head, which you can see where her head is in the bystander's video. Secondly, they didn't knock her unconscious, as is claimed in the video, because of the things I just mentioned. You cannot refuse to be arrested. So you can say that you don't wish to comply. You can ask for a supervisor. There was actually a supervisor on scene. I saw him in the bystander's video. So the message, and just because you've asked for a supervisor does not mean that you still get to not comply. I know that people are very upset about it, but nobody yet has posed an option to handle that situation except for extracting her from the vehicle. The officers certainly could not shrug their shoulders and say, "Have a nice day, ma'am," after they've been asking her to comply, like to step out of the vehicle for 10 minutes. She was not beaten. The video clearly shows that he administers the strikes to remove her hand and then immediately stops once she has released the steering wheel. So the video provides, so the video has gone viral because it's just like with the news. If it bleeds, it leads. You know, it's a highly inflammatory video. You know, the commentary that goes with it makes it even more inflammatory. So, of course, people are sharing it. People are, you know, are making claims based solely on what the bystander stated. We know from many, many years of evidence-based gathering that eyewitness testimony is one of the most inaccurate things that are that happen. There's so many things going around, going on during an incident, so that all of the things, pretty much all of the things that were stated by bystanders in that video, that that actual video does not support those. So, you know, of course the news ran with it. Why wouldn't they? Again, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, they made very inflammatory statements like officer hit woman. He didn't beat her, and there's absolutely no laws that say a female officer has to tap out when a woman is being uncooperative. So legally, he was in the right to affect the arrest, and he didn't need to wait for a female officer to do that. There's also the, all kinds of problematic logistics in trading off with another officer right in the middle of attempting to arrest a non-compliant individual. The crowd then became absolutely inappropriate. As a member of that community, I'm super disappointed by their behavior. The police officers handled themselves appropriately, dealing, especially given the behavior that came from the crowd. Even if the officers had been doing something inappropriate, that does not justify the behavior that the crowd become inappropriate themselves. It also isn't going to change anything. No matter how that crowd acted, based on what they decided was going on there, did not stop that woman from being removed from her vehicle and arrested. So the crowd's behavior did not change the circumstances. It did not benefit the woman's circumstances in any way. It didn't make sure that she didn't get arrested. But it very well could have escalated the situation to a point where somebody was actually injured. So there's a lot of things that are going on there, and there's a lot of problems. But in my community capacity and in my professional opinion, what I saw on the bystander's video is not police brutality. It looked pretty straightforward and procedural to me.
So do you know who took the video?
So the person, I don't know him personally. He does live on Grand Street.
Okay. How many people do you think were spectators to this event?
From based on the video, there was probably at least a good 10 of them that are shown there. Obviously, there are many more people that live there than 10, so there was considerably more people that did witness this, but just were not involved in that mob. That's basically what that was turning into.
So the people that were by the car and witnessed this and started, you know, shouting and saying things, do you think that these people were incited because of these circumstances?
I think that they decided that what they were seeing was abusive, primarily because of lack of education on the subject, lack of information that appropriately provides them with an understanding of legally what can and can't be done and legally what a person can or cannot do during a stop with police. I think that a lot of the issue was misinformation. And, you know, there's so many triggers that come with the idea of a police officer interacting with a minority. You know, it's become a trigger, and it's become something that we have basically decided that every interaction with police officers is race-based and is going to be abusive to minorities. When in this case, quite frankly, and I know that we make a big deal about saying just comply, had this young lady just exited the vehicle, allowed them to see that she was not under the influence of anything, she probably would have been ticketed and sent on her way.
So do you know the reason why she would not comply with the police?
I do not know the reason, but I would imagine it's for the same reason that the people videotaped it. You know, it was an opportunity. Well, you know, people in communities have been very hyped up by the media. They've been hyped up by movements. They've been hyped up by a lot of things that they do not have to follow the rule of the police. They have been hyped up to think that the police needs to be disarmed and disbanded, and that the police is an occupying force as opposed to the force that we have empowered to maintain order. So people believe that they're allowed to speak any way that they, well, they can. You can say anything you want. So I don't want to misspeak myself. But they believe that at the end they'll just sue and it'll be fine. This is just a moment for them of discomfort, but they'll get paid in the end. And I think
I was going to ask Zach if he had anything to add from what you said.
So I think Danielle does an excellent job summarizing the incident. I will say that through A Block at a Time, one of the things that we've heard from a lot of people is that, you know, mutual accountability is paramount.
Right.
So we as community members need to, you know, conduct ourselves in an orderly fashion. But that is the same for police. Police also have to be held to the same level. You know, it's a two-way street.
One bad behavior does not excuse a reaction that's equally as inappropriate.
Exactly.
Like, just because you find one side finds the other side acting inappropriately does not mean that they can then react inappropriately to them.
There are instances where there are egregious acts by law enforcement.
Yes.
And it's important that, you know, we root those out, that we support people who are affected by that, and then try to move forward together. This incident looks as if it was basically textbook. It played out the way it was supposed to. Officers, you know, exercised a tremendous amount of restraint, which is not encapsulated, in the limited amount of video that's available.
And it's not only that it's not encapsulated, it's overshadowed by the behavior of the crowd that was there. Like, those, realistically, they could have controlled that crowd, and they chose to just
try to end it.
Just right. They were de-escalating in nature. They could have reacted very differently to the crowd, given the statements that the crowd was making, and they definitely appeared to have considerable restraint. In the bystanders video, I didn't hear the cops cursing at them. I didn't hear them screaming or yelling at them. They requested that they step back. Nobody tried to take their cameras. Nobody tried to interfere with the taping at all. I was happy to see that situation didn't actually go from something that looked textbook to something that was completely not textbook. So,
you know,
I think that there's a lot of additional education that needs to go into this.
It's my understanding that the woman who would not get out of the car has legal representation now. What's the basis
She's enlisted an attorney who generally works on stuff in the community that is police brutality or, you know, allegations of police brutality. You know, some of the cases he wins because they're police brutality, and that doesn't stop him from taking cases that aren't. You know, he does work on them. I have no issue with this particular attorney. You know, when he reviews the facts, I feel that there's going to be this is not going to be one of the ones that does result in action. And it, on top of it, it's really inappropriate to compare this incident to the incident that happened on First Street. Like, those are one is by protocol, even, and it doesn't matter how you feel about use of force. That's not actually relevant to this. What happened there was that they followed procedure, and if we don't like that procedure, then we need to work to change it. It's not appropriate to go after the people who are following the procedure that they've been trained and blaming them for following the rules. We need to change the rules if we don't like them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So I also want to make sure that I note that the community requested the police to be there. There was a community meeting prior to this incident where community members, many of which were minorities, demanded, they didn't just ask, they demanded that police address quality of life issues in their on that street and in the neighborhood. So the police weren't there because they were harassing our neighborhood. The police weren't there because they were occupying our neighborhood. The police were there because the community demanded that they be there. I think that's really important because it does not fit the narrative that goes with police brutality, like, in our neighborhood. They didn't just storm us. They were requested to be there. Right. It's community-driven policing. It was demanded.
Okay. So the incident took place right by WCAA. Am I correct?
So that post was incorrect. They occurred across the street on the other side of Madison Ave. They were in proximity to, but not in front of.
Okay. So this particular incident, since it went viral on Facebook, and many people in Albany saw it. Is there going to be further controversy over this?
So tomorrow night, A Block at a Time is holding a community meeting at the Grand Street Community Arts Center to actually discuss this. The chief is going to be in attendance. He's going to take community questions, comments. He's going to answer what he can. Obviously, this woman has retained an attorney, so that does change the options for providing information, because it's a separate, it's a different kind of investigation now. But he will come and he will answer questions as he can. As everybody's seen in the, excuse me, that's from 5:30 to 7 tomorrow night at Grand Street Community Arts, which is 68 Grand Street. He has already gone public and supported his police officers, which I think we would be amiss to take issue with him doing that, given the fact that he did not support the police officers during an actual incident of police brutality on First Street. He came forward, he admonished their behavior, he suspended and arrested one of them. So we can't claim that he is biased towards his officers, because that does not match with what occurred during the First Street incident.
So Zach, you know, Danielle laid it out very well. Do you have anything to add?
No, I think Danielle did a very good job illustrating what's going on.
Okay, so tomorrow night the meeting.
I would just add that if people have questions, you know, they come to our forum tomorrow night at 5:30 at Grand Street Community Arts.
Okay, great. So I'll get. Definitely be there. So you've been listening to Danielle and Zach, and this is Focus on Albany. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, focus on Albany. Hey, thank you guys. I think this is a very important issue.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Cynthia.
And we'll talk again. Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.